Hey guys, it's Jordan Byers, and you're listening to Chit Chat with Joby. Let's get right into the episode. You guys, you're not ready for this episode. I'm certainly not ready for this episode. This is going to be an interesting one, that's for sure. So, first things first, I have to start off this episode with a bit of a disclaimer because we are going to be talking about PG-13 topics, y'all. PG-13. It's getting crazy up in here. I am kind of sweating right now. I'm a bit nervous. I've been like thinking about this all day, whether or not I want to share this on the internet. And I've come to the conclusion that if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to tell this story real well. And so that's why I have to share a disclaimer first, because there's going to be some cussing. There's going to be some interesting words thrown around. There's going to be... Now listen, hold on. I have to preface this episode with saying I am usually a very positive, usually a very like happy-go-lucky kind of person. I don't really dwell on drama. I don't dwell on negativity. I feel like for my own mental health, I just have to keep pushing forward and keep looking forward to positive future, da, 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 blah, 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 blah. But in this episode, bitches, we're going in, and I don't even care. All right, so today I'm going to be finally telling you guys, after freaking two years, I'm finally telling you guys my roommate horror story. Now, you guys, okay, a lot of the OG Joby Squad members have kind of known that when I moved out of my apartment with this girl, things were not great. We left on bad terms, and you guys constantly were asking me, like, what happened to da da da? What happened to her? Da-da-da. I need to give her a fake name because I don't need to be exposed. I mean, if you're a true OG Joby Squad member, you know who I'm talking about, you know what she looks like, you might have followed her on Instagram at one point in time, but I'm just not trying to direct any new people to go hate on somebody, because guys, listen, please don't hate on anybody. This is just a story. I mean, well, it's real. It's a real story that happened to me, but y'all, I'm the bigger person. I've always been the bigger person, even though this girl was like 2-3 years older than me. I don't want anybody going to attack her, because she's living her own life. I literally could care less about her. So now, two disclaimers out of the way. Let me stop jabbing my freaking mouth off and get into this story. I'm going to chug some margarita first. Okay, hold on. I can't, y'all. I have the longest page of notes in front of me. This morning, I sat down to really detail out my relationship with this girl and how things went, so we're gonna go in linear order. All right. We're gonna call her Samantha. Samantha Sam, okay? So I moved to California from my nice little suburbia in Columbus, Ohio when I was 18 years old. I moved to California in 2017, right after I graduated high school, and I moved to Irvine, California. So that is not in Los Angeles County, but in Orange County. So it's about, I would say with traffic, about an hour and a half to 2 hours away from LA, but you know, close enough. I freaking love Orange County. I love it so much. It's so much chiller, and there's more grass and fresh air in Orange County than there is in LA. But yeah. So I lived in Orange County, in Irvine specifically, for about a year. And I decided to attend the Orange County branch of FITM, which is the college that I go to right now. And I'm almost graduated, bitches. I'm almost out. Frick yeah. So they have an option where you can take your first year of classes in San Diego, at the San Diego branch, at the Orange County branch, at the Los Angeles branch, at the San Francisco branch. I think that's all the branches, but you could take your first year at any of those branches. But then the thing was, you had to transfer to the LA branch or the San Francisco branch to finish your degree. So I decided that it would be way easier for me to transition into living in California by first living in Orange County, which is so much more chill than LA, which I think that was a good idea on my part just because it kind of eased me into the California lifestyle, and I really liked it. I mean, there was only like 20 people on campus at a time, and yeah, it was kind of dead. It was really dead, but at the same time, I was really focused on my YouTube career at that time, and I was posting like 3 days a week, 3 videos a week, and I just did not have time for friends. I was so focused on school. I was on honor roll all 3 quarters of my first year and still killing it on YouTube. So, pat on the back to me for a second, okay? So yeah, I'm going to the Orange County branch. Didn't really make any friends because basically everybody that goes to that branch lives in Orange County with their parents. So they grew up there, they had their parents there, they had their entire lives there. So like, they're not going to the Orange County branch of FITM to make friends. They're not trying to have the college lifestyle. They're trying to save money by living at their parents' house and commuting to school, whatever. I get it. I wasn't really trying to make friends anyway. But then comes along the last quarter of my time at that branch, and soon enough, I would have to move to downtown Los Angeles to complete the rest of my degree. So, surprisingly, oh my gosh, you guys. This is so crazy, you guys, because, okay, so I met this girl, Samantha, in one of my last classes, and I was in. I had a teacher that had, he was so, okay, side story, the same quarter that I had this class with this girl, I had speech class, okay, some type of speech class, I forget what the formal name of it was, but I'm really good at giving speeches because I'm good at talking in public and just talking in general, so I was like the star student of my class of 15, and the teacher, which was this really gross, like ugly old ass man, had like a huge crush on me, and he would always give me compliments. He would send me inappropriate emails, and eventually I brought it to this school, and when I brought it to the school that this man was giving me weird looks, pulling me into empty classrooms with the lights off and telling me I'm beautiful and that I have great legs and emailing me weird things about how he wants to work with me and so much more, after I brought it to the school's guidance counselor, do you know what they did? It was supposed to be confidential when I came and made a complaint about this creepy ass teacher. It was supposed to be confidential. You know what they freaking did over break? Literally, so in between the quarters, we have about 2-3 weeks of a break before we go back for a new quarter. Over the break, this bitch-ass counselor decides to tell this creepy-ass teacher that I told her he was a creep. Like, I went into this guidance counselor's office, I printed out all of the emails that he sent me, and I highlighted things being like, this is creepy, this is creepy, this is creepy, this is creepy. And then I had notes detailing all the times he made me feel uncomfortable because I was like, this is not okay, and I'm not letting this happen to somebody else, which it did happen to way more people after. But guess what? This guidance counselor told this man after break. And guess what? Guess what? She told me on the first day back to class. And guess what? I had a class with him. And guess how many people were in that class? Me and 3 other girls. So I'm in a class with this creepy ass teacher that I had just tattled on. And then they put me in his class with 3 other girls. So it's me, 3 other girls, and this creepy ass teacher. Like, how does that happen? But the thing is, he was the only one teaching that class because the branch was so small. But I found this out the first day back to class. Like, I went into her office and she was like, yeah, sorry, it's just like when I
when I met with the board of directors, like, I explained your claims and we decided to have a conversation with your teacher and tell him our concerns, and we had to tell him who made the complaint, and we decided that everything's going to be okay. He's going to be on his best behavior. You have nothing to worry about.
And I'm like, wait a sec. Are you serious? Are you freaking serious? I came in here and you said you weren't going to tell him. I came in here literally bringing receipts. I brought in freaking receipts. And this lady's like, okay. Sorry, guys. This is so off topic already, but, I'm going to get back to the gist of this story, which is the roommate and not my issues with this creepy-ass teacher. But basically, I had an entire quarter with this creepy-ass teacher, and I was so sassy and so, like, I was a bitch to him. I really was a bitch, and I don't regret it at all because he was so freaking creepy, and they let him continue teaching there. And you know what ended up happening? Okay, so I was a bitch to him. He didn't mess with me again. He still gave me all A's because I'm a good student, but he didn't mess with me because he knew. But then I moved to the LA branch and I make some friends who are, because I was in this like social media ambassador club team, whatever, for the school. And so I met girls from the Orange County branch and I had told them, oh, watch out for so-and-so. I had a really bad experience. And this girl that I had met that was in the same club as me, she was like, oh my gosh, is it da-da-da-da? He's been really creepy towards me, da-da-da-da. I'm like, bitch, seriously? He's still doing this with freaking young women? He's literally so gross. He is so gross and old and he smells disgusting. And like, I'm still so irritated about it. I tried to bring it up with another person, that was higher up at the main branch, and nothing ever ended up happening. So the moral of the story is society does not take women seriously. Even if you have receipts, highlighted emails of creepiness, society says,
you'll be fine. He's a professional. He'll do better next time.
No! He didn't do better next time, y'all. He didn't. He was creepy to another girl and another girl and another girl and probably is still being creepy. Okay, rant over. Back to my roommate horror story. So yeah, we met at Orange County. We became friends in this creepy-ass man's class. And at the time, I was so fascinated by her because she was so quiet, but she was so bougie in like a very relaxed way. She wasn't like obnoxious about being bougie. She was just very, very kept, like she kept to herself. She had this cool aesthetic about her. And I was like, oh shoot, like she's cool. I want to be friends with her. So I decided after a class, she was walking to her car and I was kind of following behind her. I was like, hey, what's up? What are you doing this weekend? And that's how it started. It's like, it's not very hard for me to make friends because I don't care about embarrassing myself. Like, I'm very much so super out there and I don't give a fuck about anything. So I will just go out and talk to people, or I can literally talk to anybody, literally anybody. I have no problem with talking to people. So this girl probably, Samantha probably never would have talked to me unless like I initiated it, because she's very shy. But my bitch ass initiated it. So at the time, she was super religious. I was super religious. I mean, like super religious. Like I would do a devotion every day, go to church every Sunday. Like it was dedication, y'all. And I think like she really liked me because we related on that. And so we ended up hanging out a few times while we were at the Orange County branch. And then one night she's at my apartment and I was like, hey, what do you think about moving to downtown Los Angeles together? Because we both have to finish our degree in downtown LA. So why not split the rent? Her parents had two houses. They had a house in Chino, which was their main house. And then they had like a beach house in Newport Beach. And so her family was very well off. They had a family company, da da da, never had to worry about money. That's how she could afford, or she couldn't afford it, but her parents bought her a lot of bougie ass stuff. Whatever, not judging. Anyways, so I was like, why don't we move down to LA together? She's like, I don't know, because my parents have two houses and it's like 2-hour drive, so they might just want me to drive and save money. And then I was like, oh, but I already have an apartment here and it's completely furnished, and I have all the cleaning supplies, I have all the dishware and cookware we need, and all you have to do is buy a bed. I made it really freaking nice for her. I made it really freaking easy for her because I already had everything. I let her use all of my stuff. Like, I'm a very sharing and giving person. I don't care if you use my stuff as long as you're nice to me, you know? Like, I really don't care. But anyways, we looked at a bunch of apartments. We finally decided on this one, and oh my gosh, I miss this apartment so much. Not like the energy in the apartment, but the actual apartment. It was so nice. It was brand new, and the only reason that I could afford it is because I was splitting rent with her. So it was like a brand new apartment, had all of the amenities. Like, literally the gym had 10 Peloton bikes in it and all this other equipment. It was a freaking luxury apartment complex, and I loved it. So everything was really great for a while. We got along really well. We ended up being really, really close friends because I was so focused on my career. I really didn't have time to make a lot of friends. So she was kind of my only friend for a long time until she started acting crazy and I was like, okay, I need to make new friends. I made new friends, whatever, whatever. But for a long time, she was my only friend. And so every weekend we would go out to clubs and we would go to college parties and we would hang out, and just, I would take her to influencer parties and I would take her to events and stuff like that. It was really good for a while. We had a lot of fun together, and she was definitely somebody that helped bring me out of my shell when it came to being social. Because for me, I can be so extremely social if somebody forces me to get out of my little like home bubble, because I'm very much a homebody. I could stay home literally forever until somebody like forces me to leave my house. So she forced me to get out. She forced me to enjoy LA and take a break from working to enjoy LA. So I appreciate her for that. But yeah, basically we would go to clubs and I would use my fake ID at the time because I was 19. Hee hee. So the thing is, she always had the hookup to like the coolest clubs and the coolest bars in LA, because all she did was post booty pics and bikini pics on her Instagram. Like, she was this super religious girl and like always related everything back to Jesus or whatever. But then if you looked at her Instagram, all she did was post her body. And I'm not judging that, because like, she had a great body, like she was hot. But at the same time, like, it's kind of contradictory in my opinion, because her parents hated what she posted on Instagram. Like, they were so ashamed of her, and she would often like get really upset about it because her parents loved, like, honestly, like, honestly it's like really crazy, but her parents like loved her twin brother so much more than her. And it was really sad to see, because they were really hard on her, but at the same time she had no motivation to work, she had no motivation to do anything, and she was out here like pretending to be super religious and then posting bikini and ass pics on her Instagram. And she like blocked everybody she knew, like her parents' friends, her parents, everybody that would like send screenshots to her family. But yeah, that got us, you know, connected with the right promoters that could get us into the coolest bars and clubs. Like, it was really convenient at the time. But yeah. Y'all, I'm like really exposing her. I hope she never hears this. It's just, you guys have been asking for this for 2 years and it's like really juicy.
Okay, so we did that for a while and then she was like really, okay. So at the time, I'm single because I had just broken up with my boyfriend right when I moved to LA. We were in a long distance relationship for like 2 years and he lived in Columbus, Ohio. And I literally paid for him to come visit me because at the time I was balling with the YouTube money. So I paid for him to come here and then I paid for myself to go there to visit him. And honestly, there's just like this huge disconnect because I was really growing and achieving a lot at such a young age. And I just felt like I just couldn't do the long distance anymore. Like, it's a lot. I would never recommend long distance to anybody, which is funny because I'm doing long distance right now, but that's only because of COVID. Luis is moving back to LA when things settle down more, but it just doesn't make financial sense for him to move back to LA right now. So I am doing long distance, but like I actually really freaking love Luis, so it's working, but I don't recommend it to anybody. So yeah, I was totally fine with going out and being crazy because I had always just worked and worked and worked and did my schoolwork and worked and did my schoolwork, and like I never did anything fun. So it was really nice that I had a friend to push me to actually go have fun, which I did have fun. But the thing is, and it's crazy, okay, and it's freaking crazy because this girl, okay, both of us were tall. I'm 5'11 and she was like 5'9. Yeah, she was about 5'9. And that being said, we are big girls, so we can really handle our alcohol better than a lot of people, which is really it's a blessing and a curse because it's expensive when it comes to trying to get tipsy, but also I'm not going to be like having the worst hangover every single time I drink, you know what I mean? Anyways, so we would go to parties and like she would just get trashed. She would get trashed. And I had, at the time, I had a major phobia of throwing up. So I would never drink too much because I was so scared that I was going to throw up or throw up that night or throw up the next day. And that was like the most terrifying feeling ever. So I was always very cautious on how much I drank. But this girl, she would get sloshed. And I didn't really care because like, you do you, baby, have fun. And I would always be the one kind of like helping her get back home. I would order the Uber. I would take care of her. I would get the fast food, whatever, whatever. But this one night we went to Santa Monica and that's like a 30-minute drive from downtown Los Angeles. So whatever, we left the club, we were going back home. This girl literally vomits in the Uber all over herself. Like she threw up so casually that it just came out of her mouth and just was dripping all over her shirt, all over her skirt, everything. And right when that happened, I looked over her and I just started like slightly giggling. And I heard the Uber driver just go, like the biggest sigh of disappointment. And so the next day, since I ordered the Uber, I got a $100 charge on my account for the cleanup, whatever. I forced her to give me the money, whatever. Her parents are rich, so it's fine. She paid me. But the point of that little story is just to tell you that I don't care. Like, as long as you pay me back, I will help you. I literally got her in the shower. I freaking washed the vomit off of her body because she was so drunk. She could not function at all. I literally cleaned her clothes in the washer and like, well, I washed off the chunks first, then put it in the washer, whatever. Like, I'm that type of girl. Like, I'm a ride or die friend. If I care about you, I care about you. And I expect, well, not expect, because, you know, sometimes things happen. But if I care about you, I want you to be in my life forever. I want to be friends forever. And, like, I'll do the gross stuff. I'll clean your vomit off of you if you're drunk, you know? But anyways, that's a bit off topic. I'm just trying to explain to you like how I was towards her because she was my only friend in California. I really, really, really valued our friendship and
I kind of let her walk all over me because I was scared of losing the only friend that I had in California. So she treated me like shit, but that's because she has always been so used to getting what she wants and not having to listen to anybody, or like she already had all these friends in California because she's from California. So she would kind of make me feel like, oh, I don't need you. I have all these friends, da da da. If you don't want to do what I want to do, then I'm going to go ask one of my other friends to do it. So she just made me feel really insecure in our friendship because I felt like, okay, if I don't do what she wants to do, then she's just going to like kick me to the side. And I don't know, at the time, 19 years old, I was very much so just wanting somebody to want to be my friend and to want to hang out with me. And yeah, whatever. Now I don't feel that way. I'm like, if you are going to be a bitch to me, you out. But at the time, she was my only friend. So that's how it was for a while. But anyways, this note on my notes right now, this bullet point goes, she only liked to date black basketball players. So we would college hop until one of them wanted to date her. Exposed, bitch. Clearly she had a type and she only liked African American men, which like I have no problem with at all. But it's funny because she was the biggest Trump supporter. Her family were like, they were huge Trump supporters. Her and her family would go out wearing MAGA hats, like make America great again hats. They would go out in public wearing those hats and like, we're proud of it. So the fact that she only liked dating black guys, that's just kind of funny to me. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, do some research on Trump. So, but yeah, so basically we would kind of college hop based on what basketball team she was trying to hook up with. So we went through a lot of colleges and I was always just like her sidekick. I would just go hang out. I'm not really a fan of athletes because I just don't like, I don't like fuckboys at all. Like, they're not attractive to me. I don't like guys that think they're all that. I don't like guys that are like obsessed with themselves. Like, all of that's a turnoff. So I was never really into the basketball players or any athletes that we would hang out with. I would just go to have fun, whatever. But like I said earlier, what Beth says goes. What Beth wants to do, we do. So I just did it, and it's not like it was the worst thing ever. I just wasn't really into the dudes, which is fine because I had just broken up with my boyfriend. I wasn't really trying to get in a relationship with anybody anyways. Not that any of these athletes would be trying to get in a relationship with anybody anyways, but there's the D, y'all. There's the D. So when it came to actually living with her, oh goodness, I'm a very organized and clean person. When I grew up, my mom was very strict, very, very, very strict on, you know, not having anything on the floor and always wiping down your countertop in the bathroom and always having everything perfect. Like, everything had to be perfect. My mom has like major OCD, so she's very, very particular about like things in the house and cleanliness. She's like obsessive about cleanliness. Like, the woman is crazy about it. So I grew up being very like scared of having things out of place or having things dirty or whatever. Like, so that's just kind of implemented in me as a human now. Like, I'm just very organized, very clean. Never have dishes in the sink, never have things that are like gross in my apartment. Like, it's always nice and clean and organized, and that's just how I am. Unfortunately, that makes me very difficult to live with because I have really high standards of cleanliness and just overall organization of wherever I live. So she would constantly get mad at me because I would ask her to do her dishes, or I would run the sweeper all the damn time. I would Swiffer the place, whatever, like the common areas. I would always clean up everything, wipe down the counters, wipe down everything, whatever. And she would always get so mad at me when I asked her, hey, you know, like I vacuumed and Swiffered like the past 3 times. Can you do it today? Or can you like put your dishes away? Or can you wipe down the counters? Can you do this? Da, 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 da. Which I didn't think was crazy because I was always doing it. She claimed that because she had never had to use a vacuum in her life, because her parents had maids come and clean, she would not vacuum because she never had to at home. And I was like, what? Am I your maid or something? Like, excuse me, honey. So then, like, I would stand my ground every once in a while. I was like, dude, if you don't know how to use a vacuum, YouTube it. Watch a tutorial and vacuum because I'm not your maid. And I would say that, and she just got so pissed at me because if she didn't like what I would say, she would get so mad at me, ignore me for a couple of days, and then like eventually get over it. So I kind of got used to being very cautious around her because if I said something that she didn't like, she would ignore me for a couple of days or just be really mean to me or whatever. So if I really blew my switch like that and came at her, it was for a good reason, and it's because I was really frustrated with it. So as time goes on, we're fine, I'm fine, she's fine, but I'm mostly being a pushover and it irritates me. And then finally I crack later on in the story. But we're at the point where we had jumped to LMU and she was talking to the LMU basketball team. And I was always just tagging along because whatever, you know, parties, fun, whatever, whatever. And she started dating this basketball player at LMU and I made friends with his friends. So I would tag along. It was fine, whatever. I actually did like the people at LMU. They were really cool. But eventually I met this guy. Literally, this freaking guy, you guys. Ugh. Like, to this day, I'm still really salty about this dude. He really freaking messed with my freaking feelings, messed with my heart. I mean, obviously, like, I have Luis now, and he's like, Luis is like a million times better than this dude will ever be. But at the same time, the fact that he played me like that, I'm just mad about. I'm still salty about because, like, why? No. Anyways, so I had a huge crush on this guy, and he was kind of a loser, if I'm being honest with you. He was on the basketball team freshman year, and then he dropped out sophomore year because he was always on the bench. So I had a crush on him, whatever. I would always go down when Beth would go down to LMU because it was like a 35-minute drive there. So we would drive together because I wanted to hang out with this dude and she wanted to hang out with her boyfriend, whatever, whatever. Things were great for a couple of months. Like, I was really into this guy and he, for a while, at the beginning, he was nice and he wanted to hang out with me a lot and he made a lot of time for me, whatever. He invited me to parties and stuff, whatever. And this is the part of the story that gets a little rated R. And this is the part that I was scared about, y'all. So this is when the herbage comes in. So this guy is the one that introduced me to the good old herb. And if you know, you know. If you don't, you don't. It's fine. So So one night we were on LMU campus. I was hanging out with this guy, whatever. It was like super romantic. LMU is kind of like on the top of a really big hill / mountain hill thing. And if you go to the side of campus, you can see over like all of, I think it's Corona Del Mar that it's in. You can see all over Corona Del Mar. Quick insert. It was not Corona Del Mar. It was Marina Del Rey. You dumb bitch. Okay, continue. the lights and the apartment complexes and the buildings and whatever. And it's really pretty. Like, it's a really pretty lookout. So we were sitting there at night and he's like, hey, do you want to try this? And I was like, me just like, oh my gosh. Me at the time, I was just like, yeah, sure, whatever. Yeah, cool. Just because I wanted him to like me, guys. And this is so dumb and so naive of me. Never feel like you have to do anything to impress a guy or make him like you or make anybody like you. You don't have to do it. But at this time, I was dumb and naive, and I'm still dumb and naive. I have so much to learn. But in this story, in this time of my life, I was like, yeah. Yeah, I can handle it. Yeah, I can do it. Yeah, whatever. I got this. So I tried the good old herb. So I had the biggest panic attack ever. I tried it and then I had a huge panic attack. I was so confused. I was so scared. I thought he had drugged me or something. Like, I thought that it was laced with something. I thought, like, literally my whole world was so messed up. I was so scared, so confused. I felt like, I don't know, like I was really scared of him for doing that to me. And it was just like the worst ever. So I just kept texting Samantha, like, girl, I did this. I'm really scared. I'm having a panic attack. I feel really uncomfortable. We're at this location. Can you please come get me? I don't know what's going on. I'm really dizzy. I'm really scared. Can you please come get me? So whatever, she's calling me. She did get me. She did come get me. But when she got me, she was so mean and so angry and just like the worst to me. And mind you, she had done the herb before as well. So it's not like she's, I don't know what she was thinking. I think she, if I'm being honest, she was just mad because I took away from her being able to hang out with her boyfriend in his dorm room. Like, if I'm being honest, the only place they would hang out was in his dorm room on his tiny ass little dorm room bed and just hang out and make out and whatever. And the fact that little old Joby is having a panic attack and needs her friend by her side, that was bothering her and taking away from what she wanted to do. So the whole car ride home, she was so mean to me and she made me feel like shit. And I'm like, dude, I kept telling her, I'm like, dude, I'm really sorry, but I don't know what happened. I didn't think it was going to be like this. I'm just having the worst panic attack ever and I don't know what to do. So eventually by the time we got home, I calmed down. It was fine. She didn't talk to me for a couple of days. That was usual after she got mad at me. And that was that. So anyways, I live in California and the herb is very much legal here. There is a dispensary on every single freaking corner that you go. Like, it's everywhere. It's legal and it's very easily accessible. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to try it again. And then I tried it again and I had a great time. I was so chill. My anxiety was so non-existent. I felt really great. And I noticed, oh my gosh, I slept like a baby. The best sleep of my life. And at the time I was dealing with really, really bad insomnia to the point where I was prescribed sleeping medication and I honestly hated having to take medication, pills, whatever, to fall asleep because I've heard so many horror stories of people getting addicted to sleeping pills and stuff like that, and that really scared me. But my insomnia was so bad that I would go a couple nights without sleeping sometimes, just laying there and my thoughts and brain was just going crazy. Like, I just could not fall asleep. And so I was prescribed sleeping pills and I tried different kinds of sleeping pills because some would work and some wouldn't. And then some would work for a little bit and then they wouldn't anymore. So I would need a higher dosage. And that just scared me. The fact that I needed a sleeping pill to go to sleep really scared me because honestly, in general, medication scares me. I'm on medication for my anxiety, but in general, I'm very, like, anxious. I'm on medication for my anxiety, but in general, medication makes me anxious. There we go, ladies and gentlemen. There's my anxiety for you. So long story short, basically, I noticed that when I had the herb with me, I could go to sleep so much better and I didn't have to take my sleeping pills anymore. And I would only smoke it at night, like right before I would go to bed. And it would just help me so, so, so much. And I justified it in my head as, like, no, you're not doing a bad thing. Like, it's okay because this is natural. Like, it grows out of the ground and it's natural and it's so much better than putting all these sleeping pills that are just straight chemicals in your body and it's not addictive and sleeping pills are addictive and da 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 da. I just rationalized it out in my head as, like, being okay because I grew up in a very conservative family and pot is the devil's lettuce and is terrible and so bad for you and so bad and it makes you a bad person and it makes you lazy and it makes you a criminal, which is so not true at all. At the time, it was a freaking lifesaver. And I also want to just say, like, I don't smoke marijuana anymore just because I don't have issues with insomnia anymore. So I don't smoke marijuana anymore. I haven't smoked for quite a long time, just because I realized that I didn't have issues with insomnia and I didn't need it for anxiety in the beginning. So I realized, well, like, why am I doing this if I'm fine sleeping now? So just saying, like, I used it at the time for something that was really affecting my life, and I found that this helped me. Yeah, I don't do it now, but I did do it then, and I'm not ashamed of it. I just know that there's, like, a huge stigma around it that's very negative, and a lot of conservative people are not going to be happy that this is, you know, my truth, and I hope my mom doesn't hear this, but my dad knows about it, and he was chill with that at the time, but he knows about it because of a freaking snitch named Samantha. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I told you what's good, but you know what, you guys? You know what? I literally always had my shit together. I always did, and I always have. I've been working a full-time job since I was 16 years old, and I've always kept my shit together along with my grades in high school. I kept my grades together in college, and I still am, and I've always had my life together. And yes, I do deal with some mental issues like anxiety and depression, whatever, but I have a therapist and a psychiatrist that helped me through that stuff. And to me, that's normal. And it's totally okay to deal with struggles like that and be open about it. I've always been open about that. But at the same time, I had anxiety and depression, but was still able to always be on the honor roll with my college grades and always make deadlines when it came to YouTube and social media and getting paid from those social medias. So I just want to say, smoking marijuana does not make you a bad person at all. It doesn't make you a lazy person. Like, I hate the stoner stigma because it's just not true. I mean, well, it can be true for some people, but that's based on who they are as a human already before the marijuana. But, like, I've never been a lazy person. Never. Never. And even when I did smoke the herb, the devil's lettuce, whatever, I still wasn't a lazy person. Okay, sorry guys, I had to take a break. I had to take a pee. Anyways, I forget where we left off, but basically she was just really mean to me. Oh, I forgot to tell you about this, but so her boyfriend at LMU cheated on her. So when she found out, I found out too. So I spent the rest of the day with her, like, letting her cry on me for hours, talking it out for hours. I took her to the beach. Anytime I get super overwhelmed, I go to Malibu, to this very specific beach, and there's a really cool, like, little jetty thing. Not a jetty. I don't, like, a thing that you can walk out on. It's not a pier, but it's, like, a whatever. And I took her there at night, and what I do when I get there is I just scream. I just scream so loud into the ocean, and it honestly really helps me. Like, it makes me feel better. But at this time, it was like it was raining, and it was like a movie, you guys. Like, we parked, we walked out to the end of the thing, we were screaming into the wind, it was blowing wind and rain everywhere. It was like it was freaking perfect for the timing. And then I took her to this 24/7 breakfast place that's famous in downtown LA, and honestly, I was just there for her. And after that, I would say after that, like, we were good for a couple of days. I think, like, I knew she didn't like that I was smoking before bed, because she would tell me, and I would try to explain to her that, dude, like, I don't want to be addicted to sleeping pills. Like, I wasn't addicted to sleeping pills, but I was scared because I would constantly, like, my body would get used to one, and then I would either have to switch to a new one or up my dosage, because my insomnia at the time was so, so bad. Thinking about this story, I'm so glad that I can sleep fine now. I don't know what happened. I literally don't take anything, no sleeping pills. I don't smoke anymore, nothing, and I can sleep fine, which I'm really proud of myself. I don't know what happened to my body, but, like, thank you, body, for letting me sleep at night. Anyways, I knew she didn't like that I was doing that, but I would try to explain to her that I was putting my body through so much stress that I physically couldn't sleep by myself at that time, and she just didn't understand that. She thought that I was a bad person for doing it, and I tried to explain to her that, listen, I'm not gonna stop just because you're mad at me for it. I care about my body, and I wanna sleep at night, so, you know, you can deal with it. I would go out onto the balcony. I would never do it inside, whatever. Like, I was very respectful about it. And it was always at night, like, right before I went to bed. I didn't involve her in it at all. But since I started doing that, she decided that I wasn't good enough to be her friend anymore, because I was a bad person. And so I was like, okay, if you're going to be that judgmental about it, then you're not the kind of person that I want to be friends with anyways. I had already made friends, like, in my own major at that time, and I moved on. I hung out with my new friends. I would just leave her be, and she was just a very angry person. She just had a lot of anger in her. And every time she came back to the apartment, she would walk straight into her bedroom and slam the door. Like, this girl was not subtle in any way, shape, or form. Like, she would slam doors. She always had to prove that she was angry. And I was just like, okay, you do you, let off your steam, but, like, I'm not gonna let you affect me, because I'm the bigger person, even though you're, like, 3 years older than me, whatever. So weeks went on. I stopped talking to that guy at LMU because he was a major fuckboy, and I'm really not into that. Like I'd said before with a athlete thing, whatever, I'm really not into that. And then eventually I started talking to Luis, and we started dating, and literally that's a whole nother story. Like, I want to tell you guys, like, the whole story about me and Luis, because honestly, our story is really beautiful, and I freaking love him so much. So, whatever. At the time, Luis was bald, okay? He had shaved his hair. I don't know why he shaved his hair, but he was bald at the time, and that makes sense later on in the story, okay? So he would come over, and we would hang out and watch TV in the living room, and just sit on the couch and do our homework together. He also went to FITM at the time, so we met through school. He would actually, like, try to say hi to her when she came home from class or wherever she was coming from, and she would literally ignore him. But I always told him that was normal because she had been ignoring me for weeks at that point. Like, she would not say a single word to me at all. So it was just really awkward because I'm the type of person where I don't want drama at all. I get so much drama from the internet that I just don't need drama in my real life at all. So I try to avoid it at all costs, and I always try to talk to her, like, sit her down and be like, listen, can we stop being awkward around each other because it's really awkward and we live together. So this is a lot. And she always avoided talking to me. I would text her being like, hey, da da da, can we talk? And she either wouldn't reply to me or just beat around the bush. She never talked to me. She never tried to resolve with things with me. So I decided I was going to be unbothered about it. I was going to go on living in my apartment, and she could be angry. She was angry all the time. Anyways, it went on like that for some time, and I still did the dishes. I still vacuumed the place. I still cleaned up after her. Anyways, one day, out of the blue, I'm sitting on the couch doing my homework and watching YouTube like I usually do. And all of a sudden, two men from her dad's work and her twin brother come in the apartment unannounced and start moving everything out of her room. They're taking her bed out. They're taking her desk out. They're taking everything out. And I'm just sitting there on the couch in the living room watching them as they take trips to grab more of her stuff. And nobody told me anything. She didn't say anything. I'm just sitting there. None of the people told me anything. Nobody told me what was going on. I'm just like, holy shit. Like, she's literally moving out right now. What am I supposed to do about this? So I just sit there so in shock, and she's kind of a scary person. Like, she is so angry that she is scary. So I just sat there the whole time and I didn't say anything. So basically she just moved out without telling me and did not say anything to me about it. And even after she was gone, her room was empty. I was just sitting there like, what the hell just happened? After it all happened, after she was gone, I was kind of relieved because she was a nightmare to live with. She made me feel uncomfortable in my own freaking apartment. So I told my dad, I was like, Dad, like, Beth just moved out and she didn't tell me at all. Nobody talked to me the whole time. She just moved all of her stuff out. What am I supposed to do? And he was like, oh, shoot. Because I had already told him that we were having problems, and I told my mom that we were having problems as well. But I only told my dad that she was moving out because I didn't want my mom to, like, freak out and, like, call her parents or something, because I know that's the kind of thing that she would do. So I just told my dad that she moved out, and he was like, well, let's just see what happens. Like, you can't do anything about it, so just continue living your life, whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm just gonna, you know, do my thing, whatever. Like, kind of glad that she's gone, but at the same time, like, what is going on? Is she gonna pay her side of the rent? We have 2 more months on this lease. So anyway, a couple of days later, I get a phone call from my dad saying that Samantha's dad had called him and was saying a lot of stuff about me. I'm like, okay, what did she say about me? My dad goes, Samantha's dad said that you're a drug addict. And when I heard that come out of my dad's mouth, I was literally blown away. I was like, are you literally kidding me right now? Are you kidding me right now? And then I go on and I explain everything to my dad. I'm like, Dad, da da da, I have insomnia. He already knew I was taking sleeping pills to sleep, whatever, whatever. I told him, this helps me with sleep, da da da. I explained everything that I explained to you guys earlier. And he was totally fine with it. He was like, okay, as long as you're not, like, as long as you're being safe about it. He wasn't mad about it, but then he goes on to tell me that Samantha's dad said that she felt unsafe living with you. And that you have a bald Mexican man in your apartment a lot, and she is scared of him. And she moved out due to her safety. Because she didn't feel safe, she wouldn't pay for the last 2 months of rent. What the frick, you guys? What the actual hell? Are you serious? Are you freaking serious? First of all, I'm not a drug addict. I already explained everything. And even my dad, a literal conservative man from Ohio, like what? He heard me out and he was like, okay, yeah, I get it. But at the same time, I'm not like super happy about it. But at the same time, you do you, as long as you're being safe. You're like, he was like, okay, you have a job, you're going to school, you get straight A's, whatever, you're fine. He understood. But then when it came to her saying that she felt unsafe, are you kidding with me? Are you kidding? You felt unsafe? Are you kidding? Girl, like, what? And then the fact to say that you are scared because I have my bald Mexican boyfriend in the apartment. First of all, he goes to our freaking college. You've seen him. He works at the college bookstore. You have purchased supplies from him at the college bookstore. You've seen him. You've ridden in the elevator to your classes before. So you're going to tell me all of a sudden that you're scared of this Mexican bald man in my apartment? Are you serious? Like, you, the fact that she went to that low of a level where she's going to be racist about my boyfriend, literally the nicest guy ever, literally wouldn't hurt a fly, literally the sweetest human being I've ever met. Like, he tried to introduce himself to you so many times and you always ignored him and slammed your bedroom door. Like, seriously? And then, yeah, so I was pissed off. I was like, really? This apartment is expensive, okay? It's in downtown LA and, like, it's brand new. But, you know, like, I can't afford to pay her side of the rent. Like, excuse me? So at that point, I am so mad. I explained everything to my dad. He was cool about it. He was pissed because now, like, he would have to help me pay for everything. So basically, I made a list for my dad to call back her dad. So the list said all the stuff on how, sorry, I said her name, on how Samantha made me feel unsafe, having grown-ass men in the apartment, like older men, having big, like, these tall, big, strong freaking men. She would have freaking men in the apartment without telling me. She would bring, like, her Tinder dates to the place. Like, they knew our address. Like, what? So you're telling me that my bald Mexican boyfriend makes you feel unsafe, even though you've seen him so many times at school, because our school is really small. You're saying that makes you feel unsafe, but you can bring 30-year-old... tall ass, big ass men into our apartment and meet them for the first time in our apartment, and that's okay? Like, I never said anything about it either. Like, I never said anything about it. I was just like, cool, as long as nobody's getting hurt, then, like, you do you. But seriously, there was just so many things that were really messed up about how she handled that, because first of all, everything she said was very untrue. Then she was racist about my boyfriend. And then she, like, kept out all the parts where she was doing things that were worse than what I was doing. So then I wrote this list out of all the times she made me feel unsafe. And then I sent it to my dad. And eventually, like, he didn't want to have to say all this bad stuff about her, because my dad is just really nice. He's just really nice and whatever. He didn't want to have to go and tell all of this, like, bad stuff to her dad and, like, basically expose her. So he never did, but he did threaten her dad, being like, dude, if you don't pay the half of your rent, like, we're gonna have to freaking sue you. Like, this is unacceptable. We signed the lease together. So basically, the dad was just being so freaking rude, so disgusting. The fact that the dad had to come and call my father and accuse a 19-year-old girl of all this crazy stuff. Like, the whole situation was really immature on her part and disgusting on her family's part. Meanwhile, they claim to be super religious. Like, they pretend like they're this perfect family and they're so good and they donate a lot of money to church. Meanwhile, listening to Samantha talk about, like, all, like, she would tell me all the dirty laundry of her family, like, oof, yeah, oof. So anyways, long story short, her dad agreed to pay for half of the apartment payment. So I had to pay 1.5 for the apartment and she paid 0.5. So at that point, we had 2 months left on that lease. I was over it. I'm like so irritated. I hated her. It was over. Eventually, I moved to a different place. Fine, whatever. Never had to see her again. But actually, it's so funny because the last time I saw this freaking girl was right before our graduation. And it's so funny because I had an entire film crew with me. So I was filming with a film crew from China, and basically they followed me around for 3 days, and it was for a docuseries that they were releasing on Tencent. So basically Tencent is the Asian version of Netflix. It's the most popular streaming service in Asia, and basically I was in a docuseries for their version of Netflix. And so I had a film crew follow me around for a couple of days, and they were actually filming me over my college graduation. So they wanted to film me in front of the college, and I saw her walking down the street. And she sees me getting out of a big, like, black Mercedes 12-passenger van with an entire film crew and me in, like, a sparkly dress, full glam makeup, and my graduating gown. And she sees them, like, videoing me with a professional freaking big-ass camera. And honestly, that felt kind of good. It kind of felt good that I had something going for me at the time when she last saw me. That did feel good. And that was a really cool experience as well. And since then, I graduated with my first degree. Now I'm getting my second degree, and I've never seen her since. So basically, that is my roommate horror story. I'm sorry if I come across as super petty. I just like had the worst experience with her, and after 2 years I'm finally telling you guys about it, which you guys have begged me about this too as well. So here you go. I hope you enjoy this episode of my podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. Every time somebody reviews this podcast and leaves their Instagram handle, I DM them and we'll send you a pop socket, a Joby pop socket. So if you review this podcast and leave your Insta handle, I will send you a pop socket. How about that, y'all? All right, you guys, that is that. Hopefully I don't get a lot of backlash for this story. We'll see. Still nervous about it, but we'll see. I will talk to you guys next Friday on the next episode of Chit Chat with Joby. Hope you guys have an amazing week. I love you guys, and yeah, bye. Thank you guys so freaking much for listening to today's episode. But wait, before you go, please, please, please rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Seriously, it helps me out a lot because I'm a fresh baby podcaster over here. So please rate and review, and I will see you guys next Friday. Bye.